This is Member Care Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
We've talked about growing up in a time of change and the importance that the scripture places on the whole matter of maturing and growing up in Christ. Really appreciated the things that Kelly Willard shared this morning and the songs that she sang and the impact of her words. I was thinking about the issue of the trying hard. That whole struggle of sometimes almost fatiguing, of hearing so much and saying, "Ah, I got to respond to that," and hearing something else and deciding that you need to respond in that direction. I remember as a young Christian being at the front of a church after a service one night, kneeling at the altar. Two people came up and knelt on either side of me to pray with me, and they were certainly well-meaning. But one person whispered in one ear, "Let go," and the other one said, "Hold on." And I thought, first of all, I wasn't sure what I was supposed to be letting go of and hanging on to, but I thought, boy, there's a little bit of confusion. And even as a teenager, I thought, you know, how do I deal with all the things and sometimes terminology that you use? And you say, "Oh, I think I know what that means." And the importance to come back to God's Word and say, "God, what is it that you're saying to me? What is it that you want me to do?" And be open to the Spirit of God speaking to us through His Word. Certainly, others can minister to us and encourage us and help us and provoke us to righteousness. Sometimes we just provoke each other, but I'm talking about provoking to right. And all of those things need to happen. That's part of what the body is all about. But at the same time, in the process of our growth, to say, "God, I need to know what you say growth is. I need to know what your Spirit wants to do in me." And God has spoken to us through His Word. "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and doesn't mock anybody for asking. But if you ask, if that person asks, let them ask in faith, nothing wavering." And faith is the predisposition to be obedient to what the Lord tells us and what He shows us. And we've looked at the three things that Peter talks about as being the issues of both the measurement and the areas of focus in the whole process of growing up. When Peter says to these believers who are scattered abroad throughout Cappadocia and Bithynia and Asia and Galatia, and he says to them and says to us 2,000 years later, "Grow up. You've been born into the body of Christ. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word so that you might grow thereby. As children, be obedient." And there's a whole emphasis on this process of growing. And he says, "Now, be clear-minded, self-controlled, and love one another deeply." And we've looked at some of the elements of the clear-mindedness, of having God's perspective, of God's wisdom, seeing life and God and Jesus Christ from God's perspective, and recognizing the danger of sometimes our God being too small. That in our own minds, sometimes we have created God over after our own image, failing to recognize that the contrary is what real life is all about, that He has created us in His image, and that we sometimes get trapped into views of God that are too small, sometimes views of Jesus that are inadequate, where we see Him as a good prophet, as a good man, the best of, but sometimes in the process of the limitations of our own human minds, losing track of the fact that this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there's one other thing that I want to touch on, and I want to kind of wrap up two things tonight, or several things that all in the next few minutes that we're together. But one of the things is the issue of perspective on ourselves. Because you see, once we have that perspective on God and on the person of Jesus Christ, there's also the need for us to take a look at who we are in relationship to Him. And you see, Peter does that in the first and second chapters of Peter. Peter deals with certain aspects of our own, the need for a right perspective of ourselves. For instance, in the first chapter, one of the things that he talks about in verse 10, he talks about the fact that we're saved. Now, when we hear the word saved, often it creates a certain mental image. We have a picture of what that salvation means. Unfortunately, all too often, our view of being saved is simply being rescued from the penalty of our sin. It certainly is that. Jesus Christ did come to save us from the penalty of our sin. But I say this carefully, and I don't want to sound irreverent, but at the same time, I think it's an important thing for us to recognize that Jesus is not simply a fire escape from hell. And that all too often when we think in terms of salvation, we think of an escape. And it is that. And God, because of his love, has sent his Son to give us that escape. But he saved us beyond that. He saved us from the awfulness of the not only the penalty of sin, but the imprisonment of sin that took the image of God and crushed it and bent it. And our salvation is not only the fact that we're saved from the penalty of our sin, but the wonderful truth that Paul reflects when he writes to the Corinthians in the 5th chapter of 2 Corinthians. And in the 17th verse says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's part of our salvation. New creations. God created man with a mind that thinks. That was the reflection of the image of God. God created man with the capacity to choose, not to be the victim. That's the reflection of God. God created man with the ability to love, to be otherly. That's the reflection of God. That's God creating us in his image. And yet when sin came, those very characteristics, the very things that we find reflected in Romans 1, where Paul says that as a result of sin, when man knew God, he honored him not as God, but became vain in his imagination. His evil heart was darkened. And the result of that, in verse 24, 26, and 28 of the first chapter of Romans, it says that God gave them up or God gave them over. And if you go back and read those three verses, one of them deals with the mind, one deals with the will, and one deals with the capacity to love properly. That God, when man rebelled against God, God said, you want to run your own life? You want to be your own little gods? Then you have to be prepared for the consequences, the oh no consequences. You must be prepared for the results. And the results of that choice of knowing God and not honoring him as God is the fact that minds were bent, that the will was lost. Men became slaves of sin. And the capacity to be loving, to be otherly, the very reflection of the love of God was lost. But he didn't leave us there. God, in the form of Jesus Christ, stepping into our place, bearing the penalty for our sin, but also providing for us the salvation to be released from that sin, and the resurrected Christ giving us the ability to be new creatures in himself. Part of our self-image as Christians needs to be that I'm created in the image of God. And that image is alive and well. As a believer, you now have a mind that thinks as your mind would not have been able to think prior to your coming into that relationship with Jesus Christ. You have the ability to choose now that you did not have before. You have the capacity to love now as you didn't have before.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.